Yo, what's good, everybody? It's your boy, Petey Mac.
And it's your boy, Big Keith, man.
And welcome to the Big Keith and Petey Mac podcast, man.
What's up, people? We are back. And this is the voice that you all know and love. It's your boy, Big Keith, baby.
Motherfucker, why are you sitting there acting like you a late night DJ or something like this? Bro, Petey Mac, by the way. What's happening, child?
I got to do something when I get out in the Navy, bro.
No, baby, you will never do. See, first of all, that's my call to fame. Let me show you how it's done, big fella. Hey, how you doing? This is cool. That got the love on your night airways, playing the jams to get you to your B-A-B-Y. Weather's about 54 degrees, but it's just the right amount of cool.
Well, Mr. Reporter, what happened in that Clemson, North Carolina game last night?
First of all, don't cut off the cool.
Nah, man.
You're going to cut the cool off.
Nah, you showing off for the UFO.
I ain't showing off, baby. I'm just being me, man. But nah, the Clemson, North Carolina game, First of all, shout out to University of North Carolina Tar Heels for hanging in there with the defending national champs, because nobody expected them to be.
You know their coach is now, right?
Who is their coach?
Mack Brown.
Mack Brown, show me why he got fired from wherever it was he got fired, because down the stretch, it showed me why Texas let his ass go. They hung in there, they was going gun for gun with Clemson. Late in the fourth quarter with like less than 2 minutes left, they're in the red zone. End up scoring. Actually, they called one touchdown back. Receiver caught in the corner. He clearly had possession of it. They called it back.
True.
But they still ran it in on they ran it on third and goal. So now, Clemson's 21-20 against North Carolina.
Yep.
Now, what would you think the logical thing to do as North Carolina, knowing you playing Clemson, the defending national champs? You try to go and take your chance in overtime, wouldn't you? And kick an extra point and go and try to take your chance in overtime, wouldn't you? Logically, wouldn't that what you would do?
I think that's what most.
Not Mack Brown.
I think that.
This motherfucker here, and that's what I'm gonna call him, because that's what he is. He decides, I'm gonna go for the glory. I'm going to go for the gusto, and I'm going to go run a 2-point conversion. Everybody in the building where I was watching the game, including some nerds, like, what is he doing? they took a pause from their Dungeons and Dragons game. What is he doing? That's not feasible to do that. That's not statistically, that's not going to work. So it's not even the fact that they went for two, it's what they did in the shotgun, option out of a shotgun. And quarterback rolls around, the option collapsed right from the jump. But the quarterback decides he's going to hold it as long as he can. Get in the traffic, didn't pitch it off.
Mack Brown sounds like he think he still got Vince Young.
He really does, because that shit was like, I'm sitting there like, what in the entire hell? And everybody, they weren't going to beat him. And even a friend of mine, my boy Big T.Y., Worldwide T.Y., shout out to him. He said, bro, I'm a North Carolina fan, but we're going to. I said, but bro, at least still take your chances in OT and go at them. You went gun for gun that long with the defending national champs. I mean, and if you lose at the end, everybody like, well, damn, that's a hell of a game y'all played.
So, on the other side of that, me personally, I might have kicked the extra point.
I would have kicked the extra point.
On the other side of that, you got to think, maybe in his mind, he's thinking, let's catch the national champs on their heels. Let's go for it.
Bro,
they called a timeout.
They called a timeout right before that. So now they know what you're doing. Over there, who's the head coach for Clemson? I don't really.
Dabo Swinney.
So you think Dabo Swinney ain't going to be like, timeout? Oh, these motherfuckers. Oh, they think it's all good. Hey. It's like, not they can do a football. Like, football training, like, hey, bro, get the strap.
But look.
Dabo just got the strap on him. Get the strap.
But look. And if you look at Mack Brown's history, if you think about it, that 2006 Rose Bowl, right? Which, to me, the greatest football game I've ever laid eyes on.
It was great to me, but I lost $20 because of that game, and not explain why.
You bet on Reggie.
I bet on Reggie. Because this is the thing I didn't think about until my homeboy, Trevante, who I lost my $20 to. I said, I don't understand how to take. He said, bro, you bet with USC. Yeah, they number one. I said, bro, who does USC play? He said, they played Cal Berkeley, UCLA, Arizona State. He said Fresno State. He said, bro, who the hell are they compared to in football? I said, compared to Texas. A&M, Missouri, and a couple other good teams. He said, bro, they not bred for hard-hitting football out there.
Hey, look, Vince Young was worldly in that game. But the play that they won that national title game on was a 4th-and-6. It was a 4th-and-6 play with Vince Young rolling out to his right and right.
Oh, yeah, trust me. I remember that picture. That picture was a dag in my heart when I saw it, nigga, him just tiptoeing on in there and looking over there with the ball in his hand, looking at the defense like, watch that little bit.
So if you think about it, in Mac Brown's head, he's like, oh.
But look at the...
We done been here before.
But here's the thing. That quarterback you got ain't Vince Young. Vince Young was running and throwing all over that field. What, he had like 2 rushing touchdowns or 3 rushing touchdowns?
I want to say, personally, that was the greatest college football game I've ever seen played. Other than Tennessee beating Georgia a few years back. Other than that...
That is that the greatest...
Rose Bowl...
$20 bucks I lost aside, the 06 Rose Bowl was the greatest game I ever seen.
Shit, let's keep rolling with it. So, who do you think... Okay, you got the 06 Longhorns. You got the 01 through 04 Trojans. You got that team. You got the 07, 08 Gators. You got the 01 Canes. You got the... '80s Canes, you got the Bama juggernaut. So who do you think is the greatest college football team ever assembled?
Without a shadow of a doubt, unequivocally, undisputedly, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to say it. The 2001 University of Miami Hurricanes.
And look, people, me and Pete had this discussion offline. I just want to read some names to you. That's it.
And if a lot of people ask me before he started reading them, they're like, oh my God, how you going to put them up against that? You a Florida State fan. What about the 93 Seminoles? What about them? I'm a Florida State fan, but the 01 Canes would demolish the 93 Seminoles.
Let me read some names. Willis McGahee.
Running back.
Frank Gore.
Running back.
Roscoe Parrish.
I don't know who that was.
He played receiver for the Bills. He was a good guy. Kellen Winslow Jr.
Tight end. He didn't give a hell at the time.
Vernon Carey. Vince Wilfork, Sean T, Antrell Roll, Kelly Jennings. These were backups on that team. These guys didn't see the field. And these are all pros in their own right. The starters for this team, Clinton Portis, Najee Davenport, Andre Johnson, Jeremy Shockey, Brian McKinney. That's just on offense. Jerome McDougal, Jonathan Vilma, DJ Williams, Philip Buchanan, corner, used to play in Atlanta.
And you got it, but I'm hurt, dog. Don't ask me if I'm all right.
And Ed Reed.
And you left out somebody on the offensive side of the ball. Santana Moss.
You see what I'm saying?
You ain't even say nothing about Santana Moss.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, sure, there's been some great individual college football players who have led their teams. Like, Vince Young was a player who led his team to victory. The Trojans had a good collection of talent. Tim Tebow had a good collection of talent. But
who?
Tim Tebow.
Who?
He had a good collection of talent.
Oh, his talent. Yeah, he's good. But then
in college, yeah. He's a great college player. But ultimately, he had a decent team. But as far as like every position is a dog and could be the best player on another team, that was the 0-1 Canes, baby.
What do you think would hurt them when they try to repeat the next year and they lost against Ohio State? What hurt them? Because I really just was shocked that they lost.
It was they had you know that bullshit interference call.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Hey, but you can't deny Maurice Claret was that dude.
Oh yeah, he was nasty.
And I was so happy when I found out he was coming to the Broncos. I'm like, oh shit, we get Maurice Claret, man, we good. Then that some bitch started doing his stupid ass.
He was on BS.
BS ain't the word, man. I didn't know the full extent till I saw that 30 for 30 of him. I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with him?
ESPN, they got to make 30 for 30 more accessible to the people, man.
Oh, yeah, no, 30 for 30, y'all, man. That's hard to make. You got a better chance of buzzing the Fort Knox than getting a damn. I'm trying to see that damn Dennis Rodman 30 for 30.
You got
to
pay for that now. You got to pay for ESPN Plus.
You remember the days when that shit used to be on Netflix? Well, you know how many times I watched Fab Five, straight out of L.A.
You Part 2, 9.79.
I know you didn't like Pony Express.
Pony Excess.
Pony Express.
That's what they were called. Oh, but Pony. The thing.
One of my favorite.
That's another great collection.
Though a lot of people didn't like Straight Out of L.A., I like Straight Out of L.A. Everybody, it wasn't all like, you know, Ice Cube directed it. They had Snoop Dogg in it. And then, too, you know me. Like, you say this all the time. I'm an L.A. cat at heart, so.
Yeah, you belong in L.A.
I'm an L.A. cat at heart, so, you know.
You don't belong in the United States Navy. You belong in L.A., bro.
I know, homie, but I gotta, you know, I gotta grind it out and do what I gotta do, cuz. That's on.
Shit.
And that's on the gang, homie. But
shit, college football right now, a lot of people pick, you know, you say you got Clemson, the defending national champs. A lot of people picked, that quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, or as people call it,
Sunshine.
But he hasn't been playing up to Heisman standards.
Obviously not. If UNC can go gun for gun with you down to the wire,
UNC.
I think it's the hype. It's the hype getting to him.
He got that sophomore slump.
He got that Steaming Willie Beeman thing happening. It's like I'm the man now. Like,
but now they got. The front runner, Jalen Hurts, the Alabama transfer, who I'm personally rooting for. He got a spot taken at Alabama, and then he's redeeming himself. He sat on the bench for a year, and it'll be great to see something good happen for him. Justin Fields, who transferred from Georgia, is another one. He went to Ohio State. Joe Burrow from LSU, who ended up transferring. That's crazy. The top three Heisman contenders are all transferred to their school. That's just crazy.
You like the NFL. You don't respect my talent here. I can go somewhere else with my talent, homie.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm bringing you millions of dollars. And hey, that's to quote Happy Kuykendall. We owe them this money.
And then Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback from Alabama, who just set the Bama passing record. You know, Bama never been noticed for their quarterbacks. It was 6 touchdowns.
They've been noted for their running back, though.
Stables.
And guess what happened when the big stags, when they get into the league, they get broken. They get Bronco busted.
Well, kinda.
Ain't no kinda.
Derrick Henry, he's all right.
He all right.
Mark Ingram, he all right.
He ain't no thoroughbred.
He ain't no Mustang.
He ain't no Mustang. He went from a stag, you ain't no thoroughbred.
Hey, it's different, bro. Like,
I know it is.
You run behind that line. Like Trent Richardson, you running behind the best line in college football. Then they send you to Oakland. Or where did they send Trent Richardson? They sent you to Cleveland.
I thought he went to New Orleans first.
No, he went to Cleveland. Mark Ingram went to New Orleans.
Shit, it's Cleveland. I'm going to be depressed. I go to fucking Cleveland anyway.
They sent you to Cleveland. And I was like, okay.
That's what Cleveland was like that dude said on that video. You on a factory of sadness. He was cussing out the stadium, bro. That was one of the funniest videos I ever seen. And it's sad because my boy Rob, who was my mentor when I first got in the Navy, I sent him that video because he was like, when they found out we got, he said, oh yeah, we got Odell coming. I said, hey, but still remember, you are a factory of sadness.
You are a factory of sadness.
I never heard that term before. You are a factory of sadness.
We're going to see Odell want to wear these watches and get these haircuts and all that. I'm rooting for him, though. But
Hey, man, look at y'all get mad at Odell. The man is a young man having some fun.
I just hate the spotlight.
I'm just thinking because me personally, I mean, he got the money to do it. I just hate with the. Come on, bro. That's a nice ass watch, though. When you out there scuffing that motherfucker. Bro,
it might be what it's worth. But do you think that's what he's paying for it?
I don't know. He might be getting sponsored, but it's like, bro, if you're going to do that with the watch, at least give it to me if you don't care about it. Everybody mad at Odell. Odell do this. Odell, this is a 20-something-year-old man.
A kid, bro.
Having fun. 20-something-year-old man. Best shape of his life. Making money. I said, a lot of people like, he just been. I'm looking at my days. I said, these boys out here. You know, I said, nigga, do you remember the story that Momo told me about you when you only had $2 in your pocket? So just imagine you had millions in your pocket. Nigga, you probably would have done way worse stuff. We see you in the news. And Robert McCarvey is in the news again for slapping the hell out of bitches with baby oil and whipped cream. Yeah, that's him. He did it.
But yeah, man, I just hate how the media is always on him, so I'm personally pulling for him. But, you know, it's great, man. It's football season, man. It's the best time of the year, baby.
Well, y'all, you know, we gonna do something a little different because the three topics that I want to talk about today, this plays in part to one of Big Keith's favorite words. So it's like a ghetto Sesame Street. This episode is brought to you today in part by the word accountability.
A-C-C-O-U-N-T-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. L-I-T-Y accountability, people.
Well, thank you for that, because I'm dyslexic, because I ain't know how to do all that. Yeah. And the two, I don't know how to spell accountability.
Accountability. First thing, big thing these people we need to hold accountable is police officers. Since they hold us accountable for what we do on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying? I personally find some kind of joy when police officers are held responsible for their actions. So
I don't know if I find joy in this story.
They about to throw the book at her, and I found
and for those y'all going for those y'all don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about former Dallas Police Department officer Amber Geiger. Why is she important? Why are we mentioning her? Well, Amber Geiger, how long ago was that this happened?
About a year ago.
It was sometime in 2018. She was getting off of duty, and she walked into an apartment that was in her apartment building. She walked in and she shot an unarmed black man, Botham John, saying that she thought that she walked in her apartment and got startled because there was a man in her apartment. Turned out to be his apartment. She was like, well, he wasn't listening to what I was saying. Bitch, you was an intruder in the man's house. So he startled. So I remember when this first happened, they said there's something about her and him had a relationship, he wanted to let her go, and she couldn't handle it. And another thing was they said that she was a lot of people say they didn't know if she was under influence or anything, or she was coming home because they said they tested for drugs, alcohol 3 days later, and there was nothing. So, well, of course, it's nothing. It's three fucking days later.
Get the fuck.
And then they said they have a hard time realizing, because they released the body cam footage of when one of the officers responded. How she was like, I thought he was my house. Oh, my God. I just panicked. And da-da-da-da-da. They also had videotape of her sitting down in a car, a squad car. They letting her sit in a squad car. She's on her phone and doing this and that and the third. And it's just a bad situation for what it looks like, man. It's just all the way horrible. But she definitely needs a whole count. They trying to throw the book at her, they need to throw the book at that bitch. And yeah, I mean bitching ever since the word for her.
You know what's crazy? The ex-Dallas police chief said she was justified.
That was that black woman and
luckily she is the ex-Dallas police chief.
Yeah, they fired.
Why she is the ex-Dallas police chief, for stupid shit like
that. I don't know, bro. You gotta remember Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, I hope she gets they put on the stand
yesterday. She was crying to me. I didn't know it was a mistake and all that. I couldn't have been in that galley. That's what they call the courtroom. They call it a galley. I couldn't have been in that galley. Is it galley or gallery?
I don't know, bro.
I think it's galley.
I don't plan on never being there.
Nah, I could order to be like a spectator, not like being like in the actual proceeding spectator. No, don't cry now. Get this ignorant nigga out of here. When they put that needle in your ass, had the same energy.
Real talk. I think she thought it was gonna be like, oh, yeah.
No, the judge ain't having that.
She thought. The fact that she's even going to trial is a shock.
You gotta give you a trial. You're innocent to prove guilty, so she gotta go to trial.
You're right. Usually it's pay and leave of absence. Let's transfer you to another precinct. The fact that they even indicted her on this shit is a shock in itself.
But you know the judge is a black woman. And the judge be kind of looking at this. She's like, if they say guilty, bitch. The judge ordered, like, put a gag order on anybody in the case not to talk about it outside of nobody. The DA went and had a damn interview somewhere, and then they actually showed up, like, the judge, when she said, you went to talk to somebody, she turned around and said, like, she looked down, like, she's like, ooh, I know this motherfucker, I'm finna smack the shit out this son of a bitch, because I knew I told him, and she turned back around. So what made y'all think that judge is like, because if they do that, Then they compromise the case. They throw it out. So she like, no, y'all not finna do this.
Yeah.
So they know what they trying to do.
They trying, bro.
Vows it be this trying. They trying.
Look.
They trying. I just love this because they showed a beautiful picture of him nice suit and tie smile. They showed a beautiful mug. They showed an ugly ass mug shot of her. Hey, that the racist white people, that justice system stings when it's going on for you. Don't it sting? It sting good, don't it? It ain't beautiful, is it?
Yeah, man. Them tears, no, she honestly thought it was gonna be straight. She thought she was gonna get transferred.
One of my Facebook friends said, "Bitch, I'll take your tears and make my Kool-Aid."
Nah, that's disgusting. That's disgusting, bro.
That was too much sodium in there. We know that.
Nah, bro.
You always gotta be so little with you.
NWA had a song about this. What was the name of that song?
Fuck Police.
No, I was just playing. I know the name. Anyway, let's go to your favorite musical artist, K. Michelle.
First of all, that bitch ain't nothing near my favorite movie. Y'all give me a minute because the shit that bitch said on. So I'm almost about to cry. That's how mad I am, man. K. Michelle and got on. She got on V103 in Atlanta and was talking to Frankie in the morning. And she had nerves say, "Men ain't good people."
I'm a good person.
She's talking about men ain't good people. Say, "I just don't wait. They move. They ain't good people." But it was so much contradiction in the shit the motherfucker was saying. She had said, "Men ain't good people. They don't, you know, they just do all this and that and the third." But then she started off with like, "I don't want to be a grown man." But the grown man, you know, he got to be a grown man, but he got to have a little hood to him. And then was contradicting, "I don't want to raise no man. I guess men ain't good people." Now she got a son, teenage son. And you raising him, talking about, "I don't want to," and then they even said, "Don't you got a son?" "Well, that's why I know I just don't want to did that with the man and all." Basically, K. Michelle full of the most shit. She's full of most shit than a backed up bathroom on a Navy ship on Taco Tuesday.
Bro, you ain't had to go there. Shout out to all my HT friends. Man, you ain't have to go there.
No, that ain't their problem, but you know it's Taco Tuesday. Them bitches gonna get backed up. HT's a whole technician, i.e. plumbers in the Navy. They do more than that, but they main focus is plumbing in the Navy. God bless them. I've seen some of them motherfuckers go in there and just really scoop shit out. Better you than me.
Salute to all the whole techs, but yeah. K. Michelle.
But this the thing, it's like...
Has she met, like...
She was going with Idris. You know, first of all, she basing her shit off of Memphis hits. When you know he dogged the shit out of her. Because he dogged the shit out of Toya, Lil Wayne. So, granted, that's a bad example. Bro, but here's the thing.
Memphis is the reason why I stopped watching. He was on Love & Hip Hop, right?
She
was crying and saying how he beat the hell out of her and shit.
But here's the thing.
That's why I stopped watching.
Here's the thing. She keep going for them type. Now, the one dude she had, I didn't know her and Idris Elba was actually going together. She was going with Idris Elba, and she like, "Now you want to talk about men?" First of all, Idris Elba don't want to deal with no chick like you. You got too much bullshit going on. I'm still mad at her for that song that she wrote years ago, talking about "Can't Raise a Man." First of all the shit she was naming, like things like "Stand Out" and "In Time and All That Bullshit." I'm like, well, you letting him do this shit? Like, how is he at fault? And first of all, that you can't raise a man. Dude, right, I'm a man. This is my house. If I want to come out my house at a certain time, then I can't. Women like, well, that's not good in a relationship. Well, it's like, well, you're allowing it, so you mad at this man for doing what you allow?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Good brothers, K. Michelle probably dog and call him corny and all kind of.
That's what I'm saying. But there's the thing she even said, her type, because I've even found this, like, everybody think K. Michelle is hood. She's not hood. She said her dad is a history professor. She graduated from college and all that. She's an educated woman. She's one of them good girls that want to go to the hood and find them a hood dude. But then when they find a dude that's hood, because that's enticing, it's intriguing to them, they find a dude that's hood. They're shocked that this nigga got the characteristics of a nigga from the hood. He don't give a shit about anything. Dog every woman he with. But they like, oh my God, why is he like this? That's how the hood niggas act.
I tell you what,
that's how hood. And this is another thing, she said men ain't good people because they dog women to do all this. I watched this episode of Love & Hip Hop. She was, because all of a sudden, she liked women too. She was messing around with this one girl. Told
what? Reverse. Okay, you know, I don't watch it. I stopped.
I watched a clip of it. I don't watch that shit. The only time I told you I watched it is when I was dating a chick in Atlanta. And she wanted to watch it so bad. And I had to do what I had to do to get what I needed to get, pimp.
Continue with the story, man.
So, she was messing with this chick. And the chick met up with her somewhere. And she said that Kay Michelle said she loved it. They was in bed. We was having sex. And he loved Kay Michelle. Like, I ain't say I love you as a friend. And all that. So I said, so you're going to get mad at men and you're going to turn around and do the same shit?
To another woman.
To another woman? But yet you wonder why men doing you that fucking way?
Oh, boy.
First of all, that's hypocritical as fucking you. Two, karma is a motherfucker.
Bro.
But yet you want to sit.
Accountability, people.
No, see, that's and I ain't through with her. I got a little bit more. I'm loading on her. She getting mad at this man. And all the time, men ain't shit. But, like I said, you keep choosing them. And then every time you around, all you want to do is you want to be hood. You fake as fuck out of that fake ass booty. And then the facelift she had on her face. That motherfucker like Jack Skellington with some skin slapped over her damn face. You want to talk about you want a real man? You ain't even a real fucking woman. You ain't a real fucking woman. Like, you can't just... And the sad thing is...
Bro, I'm going to keep it 100. I forget what Kay Michelle even looks like.
Shit, I forgot what she looked like. She changed up so damn much.
Bro. I want to say she was on Love & Hip Hop, bro. And it's like...
Who gives a
shit? I want to say that's what I remember her from. And then she said, beat her.
No, the real thing...
I don't like watching that.
You don't need to put your hands on nobody. I don't give a damn what she say. Don't a man need to put her hands on. Yeah. Just because you talk stupid, man ain't... Don't mean somebody need to go drop kick her ass in the teeth.
I heard that was the first thing I remember her saying. He beat the shit out of me, and then dude was on there. I was like, I can't watch no domestic violence.
Not from basically. I think like he was going with Toya, like Lil Wayne's baby mama. So I think they broke up on some similar stuff. So he is out there, but the thing I really don't
he probably soured her.
No, she's probably had more. Like I said, bro.
Yeah.
Because women like her are the women who want to go, I got to have a bad boy type. I got to have that bad boy type. He enticing me. Because women like her, and I had to tell a homegirl of mine, I ain't going to put her name out there. We talked about it, but no, I'm not putting
my name. You always do this,
no, because like people, I don't need to put people, but like I told one of my homegirls, I said, your problem is the reason you keep finding the same shit is because drama entices you. You think drama is excitement. And she's like, yeah, you're right. And a couple of like women like that, they think drama is excitement. I had an ex-girlfriend like that. An ex-girlfriend, like, she would argue with me all the time. I think I talked about this when we were laying in bed. She asked me what my favorite food was. I told her, and she's like, how can you eat that nasty shit? And I was like, got in a 5-minute argument before I realized. I looked up and I kind of did like how Will Smith does on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I broke the fourth wall, like, kind of looked off, like I was looking at the audience, like, this bitch really just asked me what my favorite food was, and then got mad when I told her. And then that's when I realized, you like this shit. You like this. You know, if we get into arguments because of this, you like this. This is what you think is excitement, and this is what you think a relationship is supposed to be. You're intrigued by that. Dang. And there's women out there like us, because like there's women out there jumping the Kay Michelle defense, like, well, you got to understand what I said. No, I said, because I ain't going to lie, I've been through some shit with women. I've been through some crazy shit with
him. The whole, well, you gotta understand shit.
No, that's just like when I put up something like I had a friend of mine, she did this. She had found something from a dude, was like, well, why women always feel like they can just come hit a man up for some money like that? Well, why do y'all gotta always just lie to sleep with us? I said, that ain't the fucking question that's on the goddamn table. Anytime you ask a woman some stuff and she deflects, oh, you know why you doing like that? Like an old country ass saying, say, a hit dog gonna always holler.
A hit dog gonna holler.
That's just like doing with a hot girl summer shit. Why she gotta be a hoe? Cause she participating in hot girl summer. If you know you ain't a hoe, then why are you offended? And then stop thinking that somebody getting mad calling you hoe. I like hoes. I personally love hoes.
Nah, the whole why I gotta be like this or you gotta understand and defending bullshit is the reason why we are where we're at.
You know what I'm saying?
We're excusing buffoonery is always gonna set us back further than where
it is. It is, and then this is the thing, but this is what also makes me mad about this whole scenario. Fantasia jumped up and said, you should submit to your husband. Oh, Harlem women. Why the hell you gotta submit? I ain't submit to nobody. And that's why Fantasia married your ass is still arguing with your fucking baby dad who can't stop fucking these other three women across town.
You know what's crazy, bro? Me personally, I don't believe in the whole submission shit. That's what it's saying in the Bible. And a lot of these people
claim they Christians,
quote unquote Christian, have a problem. They pick and choose what they want to take out the Bible. What they want to take out the Bible.
That accountability for your Christian. That's just like when people like thing is like, I got some friends who gay, and some people I know be like, you hang with that woman? I'm like, that's my friend. That's a good dude. But the Bible say a man and a man should lay together. The Bible also say judge, you listen.
A Bible will say a man and a man should not lay together. I don't lay with this motherfucker.
But that's true, too. But I say a Bible also say judge, you let not you be judged. And he's out of sin, cast first stone. Now, if you're going to quote that motherfucker, quote it all the way through.
Yeah.
But don't quote what's just applicable to you. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying?
And I think that's what...
Don't blow...
I think that's what pushes people away from
religion. But I was saying back to Fantasia, all the women like, oh, nah, I ain't submitting. I said, nah, I'm going to be honest. Fantasia ought to be the one who has that theory saying men are trash. Her damn baby daddy dogged her ass out, used to go upside her motherfucking head. And I think she was sexually assaulted at a young age.
Yeah.
So she ought to have that mentality. Just K. Michelle ass, you just like these thug ass dudes and then wonder why they thug ass dudes. And you got bad selection choices. But men ain't shit. No, bitch, your damn judgment on choosing men ain't shit.
Bro, on some positive shit, though. What was that joint? It was that smash that Fantasia had? It was a smash, bro.
Fantasia had a couple smashes.
Bro, it was her hardest shit, bro.
Sleeping with the One I Love, because I like that Sleeping with the One I Love.
In the mirror, and the end was somebody saying your name. What's happening to me?
That joint. When I See You.
Bro, that shit is a smash, bro.
No, a lot of her stuff. Fantasia got them pipes.
And I like
her voice too. She talk. I just like that little voice she got. It's like a baby voice, but it's raspy too. Yeah. I like that.
It's way better than Michelle voice. But anyway, I don't like R&B like that.
I love R&B.
But that's a smash, bro.
I love R&B, man. Like she got it, man.
What's happening to me? That joint is
on. When I See You, so sexy, man. Like I be like, girl, I be in the car like, girl, you talking to me?
Yeah, man, that joint was a smash. But let's get back on topic. Where was that at? Them three young men who ran
Atlanta, Georgia.
ATL.
Yeah. So, and also with accountability. Yeah. So it was last week. Three young hardheads. Two of them were 15. One of them was 16. They thought it'd be a good idea to run in somebody's house.
Running somebody's shit.
With a ski masked up, and one of them had a gun. They thought it'd be a good idea to run in somebody. Well, when the man shot all three of their heads down, they realized this probably wasn't a good idea.
Wait a minute, one of them had a gun.
Yeah, one of them. At first, they didn't know the dude had a gun, but then they found out one of them had a gun. Because at first, when the story broke, said man just shot three armed teens. That broke into his house. Was he in the wrong? I said, no, the fuck, he wasn't in the wrong. Them motherfuckers deserve what they got. Then she was like, oh, come to find out one of the guys had a gun. So nobody, it don't fucking matter. You ran in this man's house. This man didn't know what the hell you was up to.
Bro.
You run in somebody's house, ski mask way.
Bro.
You deserve whatever the fuck coming to you.
And what motherfuckers talking about? Overkill?
Oh, that's overkill. No, that ain't overkill. That's, hey.
Bro.
Run in my damn house. I got a 12 gauge. I got a 12 gauge. You run in my house and you got a gun. You got a ski mask. All you hear is click clack boom. Click clack boom.
It's unfortunate that these three young brothers lost their life, but and then on the funeral, on the program joint.
On the program joint. This is how I know that one of their mamas at least. Ain't out of her 30s. She's still in her 30s and holler at me, baby. I come console you. One of them motherfuckers throwing up the middle finger,
bro.
On the funeral program.
Bro. What? On the funeral program, bro.
I didn't make the funeral program. I don't know why you keep looking at me talking about the funeral. How that my fault?
I don't know. It ain't.
Oh, no. Trust me. If I was fucking one of their mama, I'd have hit it in his ass in the chest like Melvin did Jody on Baby Boy.
Bro, it's crazy, bro.
Cause like, where you going? I'm going out my friend. But no, you sitting your ass down. Man, I'm going out my... Who the fuck your ass down, nigga?
And the whole, you gotta understand.
No, I ain't know. You gotta understand.
And all that shit. That's what that behavior is what that leads to.
No.
That you gotta understand, and well, this is how they were raised, and All so these that excuses can, that we make for these motherfuckers.
Talking about this how they were raised. So that means he can just run in somebody's house while they sleeping, their children and everything, and possibly cause harm
but
to
you,
them.
But you know, we'll say, oh, you got to look at the environment they were raised in. You got to look. The government did that to them. The government put us in these situations and shit like that.
I hate that excuse. I know a bunch of men that were raised without their fathers.
Their fathers.
Without their fathers and all kind of circumstances. They turned out, I'm going to be honest, they turned out better than me. Yeah. My tail on my line don't know his daddy like that. My tail, my line brother, he don't know his daddy like that. That man way more educated than me, to live more places than me.
But don't say that.
I came from a stable background. He leaping, doing leaps and bounds over me.
And that's
that's why I hate when people.
That proves my point. And we'll make those excuses for each other, but we won't hold each other accountable. It's like I always make this example. We'll make excuse for drugs and guns being planted in our neighborhood. Like, we'll say, oh, Reagan bought crack in, or oh, you know, crack was made by the government and they dropped guns off in our neighborhoods.
And we have to pick it up and sell it.
Do we got to pick it up and sell it? Do we got to pick it up and use them?
No, you ain't got to pick it up.
Do you got to serve your grandmama?
You ain't got to serve your grandma. You ain't got to turn an 8 into a 4, a 4 into a half into a whole. I don't know. I just heard them on music videos. I don't know.
I'm telling you, bro. Like, and the longer we make excuses for our shortcomings and our behaviors and shit, it's going to be more stories like that one, bro. Until we start to look at ourselves in the mirror.
I ain't shedding no tears for them. Sorry to this family, but I ain't got no tears to shed for y'all kids on that one. Sorry. Shouldn't been running that man's house. No. Like, oh my God, they ran the house, they got killed. No shit. I couldn't have been the cop responding. What happened? They ran the house, they got killed. No shit.
Ridiculous.
No shit. Ain't nobody. No. So y'all, me and Big Keith just got to finish watching the last episode of Power before we started. So I ain't gonna say nothing about it. I'm just saying TV's starting to get good right now. TV, we got a lot of.
They said this is a big rich town. Yeah. You know, I had to get it in every week, bro. I gotta send Power theme song. That's probably, yeah.
Well, you sure did a better job than Trey Songz theme, so hey, bro, I will give you that.
50, call me, bro. You know what I'm saying?
But Power's not gonna be here no more after this season.
Bro, they can play that for every show. Bro. Yeah. Keep it 100. That's probably the best theme song, bro.
It's actually really a actual song, man. Like,
best theme song, bro.
It is, but it's actually a song called Big Rich Town.
Bro, I listen to that song and then I don't see Ghost or Tommy afterwards, that shit will piss me off. But anyway.
But man, yeah, TV heating up, man. You know, Power's halfway through a season. It's getting juicy, man. Oh my goodness. I'll come to find out that the little girl that set up Tariq, Effie's...
Everybody don't know that, bro. Some people like to watch it.
That's last week. Here's the thing. This is something I hate about people. No. We ain't about to put their shit on hold. Now, granted, I'm not going to go into detail about what it did, because like last week when people find out what happened to Proctor, I'm like, y'all some fire motherfuckers. We ate out.
No, nobody knows.
That's a week ago. Get your ass caught up. Ain't nobody got time. No, like, bro, I actually had to do, like, you used to watch Atlanta, right? Atlanta with my Donald Glover. Yeah. So me and my boy was talking about it. His homeboy, hey man, don't talk about Atlanta. I was like, all right, bro, how many episodes behind? Oh, I ain't even started to see it. Bitch, fuck you. Ain't nobody finna sit there and, cause your ass, no. It's a week behind. You had 7 days to go and watch it. Ain't nobody gonna not talk about it because you, but the little chick Effie, her name is Alex LaPree. Yeah. Hey man, I didn't realize how old she's, like 23 years old. She nice. I don't like them youngins, but baby.
Bro, yeah, you do, bro.
I don't like them youngins. She nice though. But like, no, that's good. Tonight premieres Harlem Godfather with Forrest Whitaker. It's a story of Bumpy Johnson right when he got out of prison in 1962. Later on this month, All American. Coming back out, that's my shit.
All American.
I really thought that was a Netflix series until I realized, like,
I ain't gonna say it's low budget.
No, you just don't like the jersey. You like me. I don't like the football jersey. Them football jersey, like,
it's straight though.
It's a straight storyline and everything. I mean, how can you hate Cutty Wise, man? Who hate Cutty Wise?
Cutting.
Only thing I hate is freaking Tay Gibbs. That's the only thing. Tay Diggs.
Fool.
Tay Diggs. I'm like, just. How you gonna be dark skinned and be corny? Like, I don't, like, how you? That's a shot in the face. I think a light skinned dude like, nah, y'all are trying to make her look corny, so I'm gonna get a dark skinned corny mother.
Tay Diggs is bro, I don't know, bro. He's just in everything. He's always around, bro. He's always been around ever since I was a kid, bro.
Shoot, he didn't get his start, but he became popping in 98 when him and Angela Bassett was in High Stella got a groove back.
Yeah.
And then after he was Slim in the Wood, then he kind of
he was in Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh man, that's when he started. That's when the corniness first started. I'm like, is that rolling a cornball?
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, but then, and unfortunately, like, I got mixed feeling. Empire's back, and it's just,
I told you, you know why
I watch Empire.
I know why you watch it, bro. But I looked on there. Lucius Lyon has some dreads. I said I'm done with it.
He's on the run from the feds, man.
Bro, he's got the same face.
No, this is what I don't understand. Cause
bro,
like,
he lost a leg sometime, and
he be walking real expeditiously for somebody who lost an extremity.
Power got too ignorant. I heard Ace Boogie on there though.
Yeah, Ace Boogie. He was on that last season. Dude named Damon Cross.
No, Ace Boogie's name is Ace.
Ace Boogie's name is Wood Harris. Well, that's actually Sherwin Harris. That's what he was when he played Motaw on Above the Rim. He was Sherwin.
Bro, what do you think his most memorable role is?
For me?
Or bro.
It's a tie between
Ace or Julius Campbell, bro.
No, for me it's gonna be a tie between Motaw and Ace. Because the first time I remember seeing him was on Above the Rim, and this is why I've always liked it, because he did a move I had never saw before until I watched Above the Rim. He went and got the ball, he bounced it off the ground, caught it mid-air, and then dunked it. I was like, that is a gangster-ass move. But then the older I got, I'm like, that's self-pass. You can't do that.
Between he was firing, remember the Titans, though, Julius Campbell?
It's just that they try to give him that country ass accent, and you know, see me, that's my biggest thing when I watch movies and they give these black people these southern accents. Either is, sir, I someone do that, sir, or they be like, we wouldn't do nothing like that. Black people from the south don't talk like that. I'm an example of a black person from the south. I know my shit country, but it ain't no, well, sir, I ain't gonna go play that there football you want me to.
All I can life, how to do with talking in life. That shit was ignorant.
Which one?
Nothing about the gun line, boss.
Tell about gun line, boss.
But shit.
Well, like Ray would say, Mississippi. Don't buy it from Mississippi. Say Mississippi. We say Mississippi. We fuck it up by saying Mississippi, but it's not Mississippi.
Mississippi.
We don't forget the two S's. It ain't Mississippi.
Mississippi.
It's Mississippi.
Bro.
I hate that when I watch movies. This is, we don't do that here. We don't do that here in Jackson County, Mississippi. First of all, we don't do that here in Jackson County, Mississippi.
Nobody even says county. County. They say county.
They say we don't do that in Jackson County, Mississippi.
Jackson County, Mississippi.
In Jackson County, Mississippi.
But anyway, that's going to be it for this week, people. You know what I'm saying? Start holding yourself accountable, people. But stay cool, be calm, and get paid, baby.
That was some food talk for your ass, kind of like when Michelle, K. Michelle ass be giving off.
Some food talk
for hush all that damn food talk,
for your
girl.
Dumb ass.